Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. 3 days after the U.S. air raid on Libya, the crescent of conflict that is the Middle East is bubbling with trouble, and at least one major terrorist plot was foiled in London. The bodies of three men the White House now confirms were British kidnap victims were found today east of Beirut, and Margaret Rogg in Damascus says there's a Libyan connection.
Villagers in the Lebanese mountain town of Rawasit al-Sofar reportedly found the three bodies sprawled on a road there this morning. A note left with them said the men had been executed in retaliation for Britain's direct support of the American raids on Libya. The note said they were an American CIA agent and two British intelligence operatives. Although the bodies have not been positively identified yet, reports from Beirut say the dead men are all believed to be British. Adding to the list of horrors there today, a British television journalist and his Lebanese driver were reportedly kidnapped this morning. John McCarthy, acting bureau chief for the London-based World Television News, and his driver were apparently seized en route to the airport. Some 20 other foreigners are still being held hostage in Lebanon, including six Americans. Margaret Rogg for CBS News, Damascus.
Also in Beirut today, there was an anti-American march and someone fired rocket grenades at the boarded-up former British ambassador's residence. In Tunisia, two Molotov cocktails were tossed from a passing car at the U.S. Embassy guardhouse. Nobody hurt, but one car burned up. These are minor acts of terrorism compared to what nearly happened to an Israeli airliner. A woman carrying hidden explosives was arrested moments before she would have boarded El Al's Tel Aviv flight. Dan Raviv reports from Heathrow Airport.
British police say the woman was trying to carry a bomb onto this morning's El Al flight to Tel Aviv. She checked in at the El Al desk here at Heathrow's Terminal 1 and then went through passport control and through a metal detector. Her luggage would have gone through an X-ray device. At the gate, El Al personnel questioned all the passengers and searched their baggage, as is standard on the Israeli airline. Police say the El Al staff found the explosives and seized the woman. Police searched for a man reportedly seen with the woman earlier. He was said to be of Middle Eastern appearance. Security had already been stepped up at British airports and government offices after Britain's assistance in the U.S. attack on Libya. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Heathrow Airport.
In Paris this morning, West European foreign ministers met to discuss Libya and what to do about it. Steve Croft reports.
It was billed as an emergency meeting, but the mood was very low-key. No anger, no recriminations, no sense of crisis. The European foreign ministers stuck to their own cautious course for fighting terrorism, politely criticizing America's use of force against Libya, but leaving no doubt who was to blame. Dutch foreign minister Hans van den Broek.
The cause of international terrorism that have led to the situation we are in now.
The Europeans have decided to speed up their sanctions taken against Libya earlier in the week, cutting the number of Libyan diplomats here and restricting their movement. And they said that everything must be done to avoid any further military action or escalation in the violence. While the Europeans took no new action today, they went out of their way to avoid harsh criticism of the United States. It's almost as though the Europeans have chosen to overlook the U.S. raid on Tripoli, dismissing it as a mere lapse in American self-restraint. Steve Croft, CBS News, Paris.
It was midnight in Tripoli, well past prime time, when Libya's Colonel Gaddafi chose to go on television, ending his three-day hiatus. Alan Pizzi reports.
Gaddafi told his nation that President Reagan was, in his words, a maniac, a child murderer. Gaddafi said if there was justice, the Reagan administration would fall. He also added Britain and NATO to Libya's list of enemies. France came in for praise from Gaddafi because it did not allow the American raiders to fly over French territory. Gaddafi said that in response to calls from friendly nations, he had agreed not to escalate what he called the military situation against South Europe. Immediately after last night's speech, young Gaddafi supporters staged a demonstration outside the hotel where foreign journalists are housed.
No, USA!
Chanting anti-American slogans, they blew car horns and waved Gaddafi placards. This morning, Tripoli was back to normal. Cars and people were back in the streets. And several MiG fighter aircraft flew over the seafront, a sign that the battle may be over, but the war isn't. Alan Pizzi, CBS News, Tripoli.
Pizzi also reports the Tripoli airport, one of the targets in Monday's U.S. bombing, is now open again to civilian traffic. The State Department, worried about another Iran-type hostage crisis, is urging Americans to leave the Sudan, a country the U.S. believes is crawling with anti-American terrorists. An American embassy employee shot in the head Tuesday in Khartoum remains in critical condition in a Saudi hospital following surgery to remove the bullet from his brain. 5 minutes now past the hour.
Until now, basic transportation was boring. Welcome the all-new 1987 Nissan Sentra.
You can tell by the ride.
Nothing basic about it.
You can tell by the pride.
Who elevated the affordable car beyond the basics?
The name is Nissan.
This year it's bye-bye basics. Hello, Sentra. The all-new, totally redesigned 87 Nissan Sentra. Sentra's longer with a wider rear track for an even more comfortable ride.
Sentra doesn't handle like a low-priced car.
You know why? And Sentra offers five affordable models to choose from, including Nissan's sleek new Sentra Sport Coupe. Yes, America's best-selling import is even better. So bye-bye, basics. Hello, Sentra.
You can tell by the ride. You can tell by the pride.
The name is Nissan.
Be sure to visit your Nissan dealer now to pick up your Dodger Pocket Schedule. It's free for the asking while they last. You're hearing news on KNX 1070.
The Reagan administration now concedes some U.S.-backed Nicaraguan rebels may have trafficked cocaine on the side. But the White House says there's no sign Contra leaders are involved. That word came as the House of Representatives went through its latest political maneuvers on the $100 million Reagan aid request. Ike Pappas reports the Contra aid issue isn't dead, just in limbo until next month.
Republicans must obtain 218 signatures, a majority of House members, on a petition that would bring the aid proposal up as a separate measure. Republicans think they can persuade enough Democrats to join them, but opponents do not believe Republicans will be successful. In fact, they say they've got the votes to keep the president's Contra aid package from being approved anytime soon. The president's supporters now hope that by the end of next month, new aid for the Contra rebels will be approved. But opponents are saying it could be late summer before the matter is settled and that the president's proposal will not go through without tougher restrictions imposed on military assistance. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
For the second time in two decades, Joseph Stalin's daughter has left the Soviet Union to live in the West. The U.S. Embassy and airline officials say Svetlana Aluyeva, who is still an American citizen, took a flight to Zurich yesterday and was ticketed as far as Chicago. It's 7 minutes past the hour.
Did you know you can fly to Phoenix for just $25? No kidding. Fly to Phoenix one way for just $25 on Southwest Airlines. And all you have to do is...
just say when.
When you want to go, when you want to fly.
Just say when.
Let Southwest take you to the sky.
Say the word and we'll fly you to Phoenix for just $25 from now through April 26th. Call Southwest Airlines or your travel agent and just say when.
Just say when. When you want to go, when you want to fly. Fly Southwest Airlines. Just say when.
KNX 1070.
The Commerce Department reports this morning the nation's economy grew 3.2% in the first 3 months of 1986. The expansion in gross national product is far better than the dismal 0.7% chalked up in the last quarter of 1985. But it did fall short of some economists' optimistic forecasts. We got this assessment from Frank Cooper, senior economist at Merrill Lynch.
The economy is not as weak as some people have feared that it would be. It's also not as strong as we would like it to be. I would anticipate that the economy would stay somewhere near where it is in terms of growth for the second quarter, and it should get stronger by the end of the year and on into early 1987.
The GNP inflation indicator shows an annual rate of 2.2%, the lowest in 14 years. The dollar fell this morning against all major European currencies and the Japanese yen as traders waited for news of another drop in U.S. interest rates. Gold prices are up slightly in London, where the afternoon price fix was $339.90, 60 cents more than the morning fix. And on Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are up 1.5 points in heavy trading of more than 25 million shares. The Dow is at 1849.45. 10 minutes past the hour.